What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Welcome to the show that talks about the greatest parts of the greatest state in the nation. What a fantastic week it has been. Sitting alongside me, the huntress with the mostest, the wiliest waterfowler I know, the swimminest sanctioned catfish angling, fisherwoman angling, Danielle Fairman.
I feel like we need a book of all the intros you give me.
Well, I make them up as
It'd
I go.
Be pretty
I,
thick.
If I ever try to think of them ahead
Just
of time.
Like me.
And
big old belly.
Me too, girl.
Yes, Joel, what were you saying? I like food. The show is about food,
I
too.
Have no problem with that.
I
just
love
food. The current saying about thick just cracks me up every
this is true.
Every time I hear it. I'm not going to repeat it right now, but it's pretty funny.
Maybe later.
Danielle Fairman and I have been together for decades.
We
nearly
have.
2 decades hunting and fishing and eating the great outdoors of Wisconsin. And there's nothing more fun or more enjoyable to me than that. That is why this show is so excited about the fact that we have a culinary creator, the chefferie of the show, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton.
Woo!
Brings us not only these amazing recipes from the outdoors, but very often we eat them before the show.
I think it's more exciting that Danielle is turning culinary corners every week.
I am.
I think, you know, one of my most exciting things on earth is that I love taking somebody who has never fished or hunted before and making them excited about it, getting them into the outdoors. And I think one of the cool things Ellie's talking about is we're taking... Would it be fair to say, Danielle, that you had a fair to middling palate? Your palate.
I had a fair to low.
Simple.
I had low to fair.
Yes.
I'm just stick potatoes, garlic, salt, pepper, done.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me.
That's
anyway.
Wonderful. Yeah.
But now I'm like fancy mushrooms and whatever they're called. What are they called? The sea mushroom, ocean.
Beach mushrooms.
I was getting there. Kind of sort of there. Beach mushrooms.
On the right realm. But
you know,
Ellie
I'm doing
Lawton,
things.
You are the culinary man. Some of the stuff you come up with is just unbelievable. Thank you, as always, for being on the show.
And what is unbelievable is that it's so simple that us common folk, you're pretty great. Us common folk can make them at our local grocery store.
I've never
store.
Been
it's
called
everywhere.
Common, that's for sure.
Well, I would certainly agree with that assessment. Chef Lawton is anything but common. Today on the show, you know, we had a really fantastic, and if you haven't listened to it, go back into Raised in Wisco, put Raised in Wisco in your Google bar, go back and listen to last week's show because we talked about getting permission to hunt and fish on private properties. And it was a fantastic
topic.
Discussion, really important if you want to get out there and enjoy the great outdoors and you don't want to just be limited to public lands. We talked about how we ask farmers and landowners for permission. Well, I'm so excited because we have a farmer landowner with us this week.
Yay.
Brett Kramer, welcome to Raised in Wisco. It's awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you.
I'm so excited. I'm more excited about this than the food.
What?
What?
Who are you?
I'm a farm girl.
Take that back.
My people are here.
Well, that is
you want to trade seats? You want to get closer?
Maybe, yeah.
Chef Lawton, you really do have quite the menagerie of a background. Food.
Hey, variety is the spice of life.
That is a
that
fact.
It is.
Brett Kramer, you live in Sullivan, Wisconsin. Here
I live
in
Dowsman.
In Dowsman,
town of Ottawa.
Wisconsin.
See,
yeah.
We live in Dowsman. The same town.
We've got the Dowsman crew over here.
I'm Dowsman, town of Ottawa.
Oh, great. Yeah.
I'm shooting out. Everybody knows.
Yeah, well, we try to keep it a secret from the rest of the area.
Nobody can find us
anyways. We
don't
want too many people to know about it.
We're in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm just thrilled that you came to the show because today we're going to talk about from the farmer and landowner's perspective. You know, I am a landowner. I have farmland on my property. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a farmer because I'm not doing the harvesting. But you are a farmer and Chef Lawton grew up on a farm where I'm sure people have asked permission from
all the
your
time.
Family to hunt on that property. And I want to talk about from the farmer's perspective this week, what it's like when the general public is trying to get those permissions and kind of what the perspective and perception of the farmer is. And so, you know, for Chef Lawton, I want to know your perspective. I'll give part of mine, and Danielle and I, and you can talk about what it's like asking. But first,
But first,
it's time for the weekly Wisco.
Ooh.
Drum roll,
I don't know
please.
If everybody could hear that drum roll.
I'm going to follow. I'm going. Danielle's going last because you've been bursting at the seams.
Yeah, she's got this some incredible weekly Wisco here.
It involves a farmer.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to start this week because I'm afraid that if I save mine till right before Danielle, she may be too verklempt to actually answer hers. Because my weekly Wisco, Danielle,
is...
I went for a ride in a sideways banana.
You did not.
I did.
Is that
did.
Because we had 14.83 inches of
well,
rain?
That didn't hurt, I'll tell you that. But I got in one of these modern kayaks. And
wow. Wait, can we mark this down, Jacob? Can you mark this down, please?
Yeah.
Like, we do dad. Is this a dad joke? Are you joking
it's
us?
It's not a joke. Oh. I got. I
is he
got
catfishing in, us? I, is he clay fishing us?
I was not catfishing. And I am not catfishing. I
just
went
clay
in
fishing.
One of these. Oh, the first dad joke. There it is. I was out in a kayak and I had an actually very good time doing it. So
did
that's
you?
My weekly Wisco. It was very nice. Very
what kind
peaceful.
Of kayak did you go in? Do you
now you're asking very
I'm,
difficult
I'm doing
questions
the things. I'm asking the questions.
I don't know. One that you sit in.
Oh.
And,
nice.
And I didn't have it flip over and pin me underwater against a rock. So, well,
so you enjoyed it. Will you do it again? Did you conquer your fears of whatever those fears were?
I didn't have a
were?
Fear of it. I mean, I was.
You said you were fearful of being trapped in it.
Okay, I guess.
And
I
you were not trapped.
I wasn't trapped. I wasn't. I conquered just getting in it because at some point it was just stubbornness that I wouldn't get in a
you?
Kayak. Yeah.
No.
I'm not a very stubborn person. I try lots of stuff and I love learning.
You do love learning. That's
so,
very true.
At any rate, that was my weekly Wisco. It was fine. It was nice. I also saw an awesome bald eagle fighting with another bald eagle. That was pretty cool too. So, Chef Lawton. What's your weekly Wisco?
I went on a nice, long, soggy, humid, mosquito-filled hike with my dogs.
Oh, well, that's a pretty
and
good
I
one.
Loved it.
Except for the mosquito-filled part of it, I'm
it's
imagining.
It's fine. They've only kept me up the last few nights itching so bad. It's fine.
Oh, no.
It's fine. It's Wisconsin.
The
They're
dogs
mosquitoes.
Kept you up itching or the mosquito bites?
No, the dogs are perfect angels. They would never do something like that.
Oh,
they
yes.
legitimately are. Yeah, no, it was still beautiful. It's very... very hot and humid for Wisconsin.
Yes.
I feel like I live
pretty
in Florida
gross.
Right now.
You know, we've had a very hot and humid summer, which has definitely been good for crops. I also think it's helped move the waterfowl, which we're going to touch on because, folks, we are less than 3 weeks away.
We are from
we're
our
literally
early
two,
goose,
two
teal,
weeks,
and dove.
2 days
yeah.
away from early goose, teal, and dove, yes. And I'm starting to see flocks moving, too, which gets very exciting.
And we're 1 week away from the Waterfowl Expo.
Yes, we are.
Man, we've always got a lot to talk about.
2 days this year. I'm very excited for that.
It
Friday
is
and
be two
Saturday.
Days this year. I don't know if I'm excited about that or worried about that. Because
you're excited.
Yeah.
Are you worried you're going to spend all your money on new trinkets?
That's my problem.
I am.
I'm
oh
kind
my
of a gadget guy. I do get a little bit excited about gadgets. And
gadgets
when I
cool.
think that there's something that can spin, twirl, or
splash,
that it's going to help me get, you know, do better with the ducks or geese, I'm not sure mm-hmm. any of that matters, to be honest. I think it's really most about how you hide.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. Brett
I think
Kramer.
It's about the wonderful land you get to hunt on.
Well, that's a fact.
Which leads us to
oh,
which?
No, you are teaming up with the farmers already on this show.
Oh, heck yeah, all the way.
We're all team that's farmers. Right.
I don't mind that at all. Brett Kramer, did you do anything nice outside this week?
Yeah, well, I mentioned I went to State Fair, and
ooh,
then
wonderful.
I worked my cattle, which is always, you know, that's an outdoor thing. Farmers
that's
are outdoors all
outdoors.
The time.
Yeah, yeah. You're outside doing cool stuff every day,
yeah.
doing really hard
yeah,
work
I,
every day.
I worked cattle. I tagged some cattle and took care of the young bulls that we don't want to be bulls anymore, and
oh, you turned them into steers.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Okay.
That sounds fun.
What did you
we
eat at the fair?
We don't need to get into the details.
No, we don't. I walked away uninjured. That's all we needed to do.
Is that a risky proposition?
Well, anytime you're working with big, heavy animals, you know, in confined spaces, you want to keep your head on a swivel.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
know where your back is, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Know
yeah.
what you're
I mean,
doing, where
my
you're
My cattle
stepping.
Work pretty well, but it's... You
it
know,
can be nerve-wracking. You don't want to catch a kick to the chest.
I've gotten kicked before in places that you don't want to get kicked.
Yeah.
Well, is there really a place you do want to get kicked?
True.
Not
very
really.
True.
I don't think I've ever been kicked and enjoyed it.
Want to try?
No.
No, you want to switch seats?
I, I really don't care to have the heavy.
I'm wearing my Crocs today, though.
Oh, I'm
your
sorry.
Croc flops.
I'm my sorry
Croc
about flops. That. Those are horrible.
Brett, I want to know what you ate at the fair.
Ooh.
I always get a cream puff.
Ooh.
That's my first stop.
Oh, perfect.
I'm kind of. I don't go for the weird foods. Like everybody yeah. wants to try the new thing. I have my standbys: cream puff, beef sandwich, maple
Ellie
cotton
loves
candy.
Her beef.
Yeah.
You want a beef farmer, you gotta, you know,
the,
you gotta support the
Cattlemen's
the
Association.
Cattlemen's Association.
Yeah, and the pork producers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, heavy on the meat.
Yep.
Nice.
Love it.
Same.
So,
well,
yeah.
you know, at the end of the day, the more protein you eat, the healthier you are. They're finding that out. And even the fats you eat from natural meats are very good for you.
So yeah, certainly.
Completely opposite of the 80s when everybody was trying to not eat meat and trying to not eat fat.
And now you have the carnivore diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we talked about it on our show probably about a year ago, the carnivore diet with,
yeah, yep.
and we had the football player come on.
The paleo diet.
Yeah, I don't remember his name,
diet,
but he did it.
And
he was
diet.
High success, he said. So
interesting.
Yeah. All right, Danielle.
I have the everything diet.
The moment
come
we've
on,
been
Danielle.
Waiting for Danielle's weekly whistle.
So I went out scouting, obviously, and I
obviously
I went up to a farmer, saw him out there. But this farmer was on VPA. VPA is voluntary public access. So it's
yeah.
their private land that they, I hope you can tell us more about this. I have flyers in my car that I forgot to bring in. But they rent out to the DNR so then we can hunt it. So it's public for everybody, but it's really private. But then I had questions. So I was walked up to him. And I don't want to be rude to farmers who actually allow us to come on there without permission.
Right.
So I'm talking to them, and all these kids come up to me. His daughter comes up to me. I made friends with his daughter, Britt, and she's actually going to come out hunting with me for her first time.
Oh, wonderful.
That
yeah, I'm very excited about
That's
that.
That's awesome.
But these kids, kept bringing me all these animals.
Oh, geez, Danielle, you were there all day, weren't you? Did they have dogs?
It was like an hour.
How many pets do the Danielle and Josh household have now?
We have a cat.
Oh, my goodness.
You went home with a cat.
I went home with a cat, and I was talking to the farmer about his equipment. Cause I'm a heavy equipment operator, so I'm talking to him like, hey, I can reciprocate with helping you with the farm, like, whatever you need for the equipment, because I see some hanging out over there.
I forgot. Did you get yourself adopted before you left? Danielle?
But these little kids kept bringing me cats. One didn't want to stay with me, so I let it go. Another one came up and didn't want to stay out. Then this
gosh,
one came
Danielle.
Up to me and started, it was 3 weeks old.
Oh, wow.
And they just started purring and just looking up at me like, take me home.
I know. The cats are not even delicious until they're at least a year.
Oh, gosh. Really?
I'm joking. Before you send all the letters to Facebook, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Megan's going to get bombarded with messages right now. But yes, needless to say, I got extra permission and...
And a cat.
And a cat.
What's the cat's name?
I haven't named it yet.
Okay. Ooh, should we make it a contest?
So I was.
Oh, yeah.
The one name I have, I think, in Scout, because I was out scouting.
Send your ideas to the Raised in Wisco Facebook page. Man, we got a lot to talk about. This is Raised in Wisco. Wallet, I'm so darn lucky. This is Raised.
Two.
You have two four-leaf clovers?
Two four-leaf clovers.
That's like an eight-leaf clover.
Look at me.
This is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors, the great state of Wisconsin. You can listen to us live Saturdays at 11 on 23 Woo. Civic media stations throughout the state. And if you miss it.
Why would you?
You because you're scouting and getting
because
cats.
You're scouting, getting cats, you're doing far more.
Yeah.
Where can you find it, Danielle?
If you are scouting and doing farm work, you cannot listen to us on Saturdays. You can find us on Facebook and see our lovely faces, as well as YouTube. But then tune in to Spotify and Apple Music. Don't forget to give us a like on all of those things so you can get notifications of when we go up.
Yes, and give Megan Salazar, our Facebook czar, Megan Sala Facebook czar.
Wow.
Look at wow, that's
that
a new
was
one.
Good. That was, a, that
was
mouthful.
Pretty good.
She runs our Facebook page.
Sorry,
reach
Megan.
Reach out to us. Tell us what you think, what you'd like to see or hear on the show. More and more people are coming up to us and talking to us about the show.
They are.
And that's very exciting. We love having you along. If you're new to the show Raised in Wisco, welcome. We like to think that there's something for everybody. We don't just talk about hunting and fishing. We talk about everything in the great outdoors mm-hmm. of Wisconsin. And this week, we're talking about the backbone of not only Wisconsin, but the United States and the backbone of society, the
Absolutely.
American farmer. Our own chef, Ellie Lawton, comes from a farm family. We've got farm crops on our personal property here. And Brett Kramer is joining us. Mm-hmm. He's
Yay.
A farmer from Douseman, Ottawa. And I want to talk to you, Brett, because and one of the reasons I was interested to bring you in is because you are actually a farmer I have asked permission for
Ooh.
Yeah.
to hunt your property.
Yeah.
And you have granted me that permission. And it always amazes me as a hunter. And I started, you know, a little later. I was 38 years old when I started hunting. It always amazes me people who are willing to allow other folks to come onto their property with loaded firearms to hunt and to pursue and harvest wild game. In your years of farming, has that ever been something that's occurred to you, or how have you looked at the hunter as they approach you as the farmer?
Oh, I love that question.
Well, you know, it's funny because my grandfather and my dad, I'm a fourth generation on our farm. My great grandfather started farming. We were a dairy farm for a while, and we've always had people that hunted. Our family's always hunted. So I don't know. I don't want to speak for all farmers. I know farmers don't like it when one farmer speaks for all of us.
Like every other
group. Or anyone, yeah,
right.
in that case.
Hunters don't like when other people speak for
right.
them.
But, I mean, you know, we look at our land as something that we're privileged to be on. We look at it as something we're there to take care of. We don't look at it as something we own or possess as much as we're there. You know, it's going to be here long after we're gone.
You're shepherds of the land.
Right.
That's
so,
a very Native American view.
It is, but I mean, I think it transcends that. I mean, if you go around the world, it's I think that's the right way to look at it, at least from my perspective. So our goal is to try and share it with as many people as possible, you know? And so a lot of, some farmers charge a rent. We don't charge anything. We never have asked for any. You know, people have asked me for exclusive hunting rights on our property. We've never done that, but we've always appreciated it when somebody wants to come out. And one of the things I really love is when I have one guy that comes out and he takes pictures of birds and things that he sees while he's hunting, and he'll get them framed and printed and send them to me as a thank
wonderful.
You.
That's
yeah.
nice.
And I just really, that touches me, you know, because if you grew up on a farm and you're on the same land, you know, the land itself is special to you, and it touches me when somebody else can share it. And I remember when you came out, Joel, you said, you know, you talked about how beautiful it was, and
yeah.
we feel the same way. And so I'm always glad when we can share it. I mean, you know, we can't share it with everybody,
yep.
you know, because otherwise the quality of the hunt is diminished. So
yes, because you want to at least be cognizant of the resource you're hunting.
I say no a lot. But, you know, we have some good people who have been hunting on our land a long time. And, you know, when we have a spot and somebody wants to come out, yeah, we love to have them be able to experience it and share it.
Well, I want to talk about, you made two points in there that I think are definitely worth talking about. And, you know, Chef Lawton, you grew up on a farm as well. So people
yeah.
stopped and asked your family
all the time.
To hunt. And
drove my dad nuts.
Oh, really? Did it?
It really did. Yeah. Because it was all the time. I mean, our farm is off a really busy road. So constantly he had people in and out of the farm asking for permission. Yeah.
And he and
see that, that's what scares me is that we have both stories. I have the stories of farmer getting annoyed of all the hunters coming up there and asking, and you're like, oh, I would love to share the, my land with people, but yeah, you know, safely.
It is one of the first things people ask you when they find out. You you can tell who if you've met a hunter.
Yeah.
Because when they tell you how to farm, the first thing everybody asks, like,
oh, yeah?
Hey, can I hunt on your land?
The joke when I was younger was, if anyone tried to date me, my dad said they were just dating me to get hunting access.
Well, was there any truth to that, Ellie?
I think it was actually pretty true. I didn't care. We were going hunting.
I care. They were going hunting and you were getting dates.
I did. Really I at that point, I could end the access anytime I wanted.
So okay, I'm done with you, bye.
Yeah, like, you're not coming home with me, pal.
I haven't had flowers in a while, Steve. Wow. Burger King, I was thinking more like the 5 o'clock club, Steve. Weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh my
hey, it
gosh.
All works out somehow.
That is great. And I think that all of those things, all of those aspects of the ask, the permission, the appreciation, all matters. And that's what I'm really excited to talk about. And that's why this is such a fantastic topic for your show. This is Raised in Wisco. You can go to learn how to take what's in the outdoors of Wisconsin and put them on the table. And that is why Chef Ellie Lawton joins us weekly with our recipes and helping you figure out ways to easily and simply take something and make it delicious. And I am here as living proof, at least 10 pounds heavier than I would be if that weren't the case. We eat, don't we, Danielle?
And this recipe, I have been thinking about it forever, and ooh, she's going to discuss it today.
I'm really so excited today. If you like desserts, you got to make sure that you... Mm-hmm. Can you record things anymore on... radio? Can you even record? You got to record it or go back. You don't have to record
it. You can pause it and listen to it on Spotify and Apple.
Spotify.
We're going to talk.
Or Civic Media.
We are going to talk about desserts today, and that is one of my weak in the knees areas. The things that I should not eat the most are the things I crave the most.
I truly think we should eat dessert before any meal.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh,
I don't hate that idea at all.
I mean, you said you go to State Fair and the first thing you do is get a cream puff.
Yeah,
that's kind of
absolutely.
A palate cleanser for the rest of the day. Yeah. And then actually, you circle back around to another dessert.
I am actually really happy that you brought that up. I was going to ask, when I eat a dessert or part of a dessert before the meal, mm-hmm. it seems like it hits a different taste sensory part of your mouth, part of your tongue, that makes the actual savory food taste better.
Yeah,
is that
makes
true?
That would make sense, because if it's like berries or mm-hmm. whatever that has like a more sour component, that would make sense. It would wake up your taste buds.
Ooh, yeah. I have another question that's kind of sort of off topic.
Oh, yeah.
Why do they not have appetizers for breakfast?
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I would love appetizers.
Yeah, like little itty-bitty mini pancakes with little sausages.
Danielle, you're really onto something.
Danielle, yeah. you don't know it yet, but you are a culinary creator yourself, okay. I'm afraid.
Danielle's going to own a restaurant by the end of the year.
By the end of the
food
show.
Truck. I would love, well, I don't think I'll have a food truck, but food truck.
Danielle, you will have a food bulldozer. You'll drive around with like food in the bucket. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
You know I can see you doing that.
I have
That'd
to
be
say,
so cool.
I went to an event one time, and it was at Jerry Hepp at Jerry Hepp's Excavating in Watertown, Wisconsin. And they had all of the shovel trucks with the
oh cool
and all the
shovel
food.
Trucks
what are they called with
What's
the diggers on the front
shovel truck
front end loader
front end loader thank you
a shovel truck
very clear on this show who are the experts in which areas
and I will now forever be a shovel truck.
What is the front part though? The scoop
a bucket
a bucket
the scoop
oh my goodness. You know how earlier you said you weren't a farmer? I think we can all agree you are not.
I'm not a heavy equipment operator either.
A shovel truck.
Around is the only heavy equipment I need to move.
I have to go lie down. A shovel truck?
Well, people say you run that digging machine, right? I was like, oh, the excavator? Yes, yeah.
They call them diggers,
oh,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
That is a general term in the industry, diggers.
No, definitely don't.
They do it at
Fleet and Farm in the Toyland section every year.
Which is about as far as I've gotten, if you don't mind. Sorry about that.
The little ones at the playground?
Oh, for God's
sake. A shovel truck.
Boy,
that's the best thing ever.
With you guys here, I'm sure glad I was going to be able to slide through that. Appreciate that very much.
What were we talking about?
George Hermert's coming off his chair laughing right now. He loves it when you guys pick on me.
Oh,
at any rate,
goodness.
The buckets had all of the food and appetizers in it, and it was really cool.
That was
the only point I was trying to
make. So they're bucket trucks.
Yes. See, I love to learn, and I will now forever know that bucket trucks are actually called front-end loaders, and they don't have a scoop at the front. They have a bucket.
Yes, this is very true. Good job.
That makes... I've learned that. And
you can get your TLB. That adds a little extra in there.
What's a TLB?
A tractor loader backhoe.
Yeah.
Those are usually...
Danielle, don't swear on the show. My goodness.
I can barely run those.
There are children listening.
My, you got a good TLB there.
See, if you listen to Raising Risk, if you're new to the show, you're going to laugh with us. We can't always promise what you learn is going to be real great, but come along with us. Put us in your must listens to on Spotify and give us a check and go to the Facebook page to say hello and let us know what you'd like to hear about on the show as well.
And what I would like to hear about on the show and learn about is, and also I don't know if you know about it, but I'm sure you do because you're a farmer, about voluntary public access and habitat incentive program.
You could probably teach me more about that. I know a little bit about it. I don't know how it works. I do know that it exists. I've never looked into it.
So the reason why I know about that is because, as I said before on previous episodes, is I'm scared to go up to farmers, because hearing you explain how you feel about the land makes me feel better about asking farmers, but I'm always afraid I'm taking advantage of what they have worked so hard, blood, sweat, and tears for. And I feel like I'm just going in there and taking advantage of it. That's why I always offer services and everything. Like, if you have a nervous hunter coming up to your door, a female variety,
just
hand her a cat
and say, relax.
I need you to talk
I'm
to
always,
me and calm me down. I'm nervous.
I said this before, you know, I'm always, we have quite a few established people that hunt on our land. So we have limited spots for people, you know. And that's the way it is in southeastern Wisconsin. There's a lot of hunters and not much land, and we're getting less all the time. But I mean, be polite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm always feeling bad because I can tell when the question's coming, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to say no, you know, and I feel bad. And sometimes somebody comes up with a story that tugs my heartstrings, you know, and we'll figure it out. My brother and I both farm together, and he has people that come out, so we have to coordinate. But yeah, I mean, you know, farmers love to talk about their farm. Mm-hmm. Everybody that I know does.
Yeah, you were saying last week that you love hearing their story.
Yeah, just going and sitting on the front porch and hanging out, listening to how long they've been at their farm, you know, their family members, your fourth generation. Like, you have stories for days, guaranteed.
Do your homework. It's funny because before I came here, I was talking to a friend of mine. Her and her mom run a farm, and she has guys come to the door all the time, and they ask, "Can I see your? Can I talk to your husband?" Oh,
do not.
That gets her dander. She's like, "I don't have a husband." You know, if you can go on X and find out who owns the land and at least have a name.
Right.
But yeah, she's like, I'm rude to him right away.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm not like that. I mean, I'm a little less confrontational. I give people the benefit of the doubt, but you know, yeah, do your homework. Know the land a little bit, you know.
And we got Brett Kramer on the show, who is a farmer landowner. Chef Ellie Lawton, the official chef of Raised in Wisco, grew up in a farm family, a farming, landowning family. And I'm going to ask this question to both of you guys. You both have said that you hear yeses and nos. What is the difference between a yes and a no. What is the person? Who's going to get the yes and who's going to get the no?
I like that. And what are they wearing?
Well, well, for me, it's up to my father. I mean, unless somebody comes to my ranch and asks me, but that's a lot smaller of an area and I hunt there. So unfortunately, I can't open it to anyone.
Yes. And I'm sure you don't want to be opening up your dad.
But you know what? The people that pick asparagus at my house, they come like crazy.
And they don't ask because it's
in
the
ditch.
Right.
Yeah.
And they pick it right before you and your women's hunting group is going to pick it. I remember that.
Exactly. Well, so it's a little bit different for me.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's, I mean, I'm not looking for a reason to say no. You
right.
know? But it's timing. You know, I'll tell you what, there's a guy that comes out to us. And I have two guys that have hunted. One of them was a friend of my late father. And those guys ask me every year if they can hunt. And, you know, they almost have blanket permission because they've been here so long. They're
sure.
regular guys. I know what weeks. They both have spring turkey permits. But they know when they're going to get their tag in the fall, and they give me a call. So, you know, they do their homework. They figure out when – and they ask permission. They don't assume you know, that they're going to – And I think it's timing. You know, if you catch me and I've got an open season that nobody's hunting on for turkey, and, you know, if we can find a way to say yes, then we will. But that's a lot of it. Timing and doing your homework and being polite, you know. It doesn't help if you want to come back to help us remember you somehow, you know.
Sure. That was the next question I was going to ask. Timing. I want to talk about timing in a little bit of a different way. I don't think it behooves you to ask a day before the season starts.
Correct.
No.
Or 2 days before the season starts. I think have enough foresight to understand that farmer's got plans. They're harvesting. They're planting at certain times of the year. I ask permissions very often in the middle of summer or the spring about
for sure.
next fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And then go back multiple times. I mean, if you think about it, the farmers are planting in spring. They're doing all their equipment maintenance. They're spending a ton of money on crops. They're kind of stressed out, right? And then summer, there's a tiny bit of a lull. Stuff is starting to grow. Then you're making hay. You're taking care of your animals. I mean, if I'm going to approach a farmer, it's going to be in the summer. I'm not going to wait till fall. Right before hunting season starts, and they're starting harvesting. I mean, these guys.
So, are you
work...
guys saying right now is too late to ask?
No, I think now's on the end of too late.
Yes,
now
for
is
sure.
On the...
But what you're saying is don't come a day before.
No,
yeah,
that never works.
No.
I don't have time to talk to you. Then.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And for those you know who may have not had a foray into hunting yet, there are many different seasons in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but the earliest starts September 1st.
Oh, yes.
We're just 2 weeks away from that. You should be doing your scouting for that hunt, for those hunts now. You should be asking, you know, wrapping up your asks. You should have your list. One of the things I want to say, though, is, you know, you're hearing from Brett Kramer and Chef Lawton about their farm families. I think if I can encourage one thing about if you want to try to hunt, find someone who does it. Ask them to go scouting with you. Ask them to go with you to ask permission.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, people are deathly afraid of getting told no.
Yep.
However, if you don't ask, the answer's automatically
no.
And I've been very surprised. There are days I've gone and asked 10 different farms and got 10 no's. There are days I've asked 10 farms and gotten 9 yeses.
Hey, if you ask my dad on a day where all the equipment's breaking down and the cows broke the fence, I don't even want to pull in the driveway.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know.
His daughter.
You don't know what you're... Like I said, these guys work really hard, these guys and gals, every single day. 365 days a year, 24/7, they work. So, I mean, you just have to be respectful, be smart about the timing, and show some appreciation.
That's very, very great advice. Brett? Does it really resonate with you when someone shows you their appreciation?
Yeah, always. I mean, we don't expect it, but it's always nice. Like I said, I mentioned the guy that always sends me a photograph. He's an amateur wildlife photographer. I'll tell you what, if you get your deer done at a place where I like the hot sticks will make me remember you.
I delivered meat cheddar venison sausages to a farmer yesterday.
Yeah.
Just
talking
yesterday.
About food right before a food segment.
Do not think that because they're a farmer that they don't want fresh or wild game or meat.
Right.
They really appreciate it. They don't have to go through the rigors of getting that from the animal to their freezer if you show up with it ready for their freezer. And I think that that's great advice.
I want to talk about blanket permission when we come back, because I think that's really important. And it's something that you and I have talked about a little bit.
That's also a great topic. And you're going to have to squeeze it in because it's time to talk about food.
I know. There's not enough time.
And I'm really excited about that because the next cooking segment is the dessert segment. And I've got some questions for that. Because, god darn it, I'm getting hungry. When am I not? This is Raised in Wisco. Nothing if it is not a
cooking show.
It's a cooking show. That's why we've got
today. It's a baking show.
It's a baking show today.
Not bacon.
Not bacon.
Ooh. You could bacon. Add it to that.
You could
certainly
add
like crumbles on top,
like a maple bacon
on
type?
Top.
Some candied bacon.
World acclaimed, award winning, world traveling chef extraordinaire Ellie Lawton joins us, and. I honest to God, I get so excited about the cooking segment every week because I love to eat. Before we get to that, though, I want to wrap up the conversation. Brett Kramer, farmer, landowner, Ellie Lawton from a farm family. We talked all today about what it means to farmers to ask permission, what their responses are. And I think, gosh, I learned a lot. I really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel better.
Chef Lawton, you during the break talked about blanket permissions.
Yeah. So, Brett, you were talking about how you have some gentlemen that have come back every year. Mm-hmm. They have blanket permission, but they still ask you every year. They still check in with you. And Joel, I know we've talked about this a little bit. And Danielle, I'd like to get your opinion. I know we don't have a ton of time. But I personally, if you have permission, if you go to a place every year for, we'll say, 10, 15 years, still, I personally will reach out to that landowner every single year, multiple times. I will text them when I'm coming, even if they already know, like, hey, I know Ellie deer hunts here or whatever. I will still let them know, hey, I'll be there tomorrow. Just a heads up. I think that's so important. And I know a lot of people don't do it because they're like, well, I have permission. They know I'm coming. I still think that's so important because you never know. You know, if you have a busy day on the farm, you don't remember like a hunter is coming out and then all of a sudden you have a strange vehicle on your property and you're like, well, who the heck is that? So, Danielle, I want your opinion. And Joel, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel the exact same way. I will tell them the day before I go out there and I will get, you don't need to tell me, just show up.
Yeah.
Okay. But
you
I want
still
to
feel
just
like you
in
need
case.
To.
Yeah, yeah. And I still bring a gift. I still ask. I still do all
those I like
things.
To know you're coming even if I know you're coming.
Like, yeah, exactly. See, yep.
I will say that there's nothing better than I always, every farm I'm ever hunt on, I bring something to them, usually a goose pot pie. And when you do that, you're creating a friendship, and that's a whole extra show, like the friendships and what you learn asking permissions. I always ask every year, or at least check in every year. I do have one farmer who said, stop asking me. I don't want you to ask anymore. Yeah. Just hunt.
But I would
and
still go
hunt,
ask.
You get to eat. And we're going to talk about
let's eat.
Desserts today, Chef Lawton.
Yay. Okay, so we are talking a late summer fruit pie. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So we are talking nectarines. Peaches, plums, cherries, strawberries, blueberries right now in Wisconsin and Michigan. They're everywhere. I throw all of these fruits into the pie.
Okay. here's my biggest, well, first of all.
So, go ahead. No,
no
Joel,
I
I know you have questions.
Ellie,
so
go. It's your segment. Go.
Okay,
speak
so
over him.
I've gone over my pie crust recipe on the show before, but I'm going to run over it. Yeah. And then our wonderful Megan Salad Bar will post all the details on how to actually make it on the Facebook page. So these are just the ingredients. 2.5 cups all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon sugar. That's optional. If you're making pot pie, take the sugar out.
Okay.
2 sticks of butter, cold, cubed. and 4 to 8 tablespoons ice water. That is it. And that will produce 2 pie crusts. Okay. So that's what you'll need for this pie. There's bottom and a top. Needs lid. Okay.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Ready.
Yes.
Okay. Joel, do you have your question now or can we get to the filling?
Go.
All right. So I'm going to run over the filling again. Megan will post this on the Facebook page for everybody to follow along because it's kind of a lot. So for this one, I use 3 medium plums, apricots, or nectarines. I do one of each because I think it's delicious. And then you'll use pitted cherries, fresh pitted cherries, people. Fresh blueberries, blackberries, or raspberries. I mix it up. It's 6 ounces, so you can divide it. And then you can use, if you want to get kind of crazy, you can do gooseberries, currants, or fresh cranberries because we're going into cranberry season soon.
I don't know what 2 of those are.
Well, I'll tell you, Danielle, okay. Later on. and then you'll have 7 ounces, so 1 cup sugar. And then you'll do a 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. And then you will do 1.5 ounces tapioca starch.
Tapioca.
And then you're going to do, you'll have your pie dough. That's all you need for the filling. I sometimes add lemon juice if I have one on the counter.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. What? Okay. How do you turn that into the pie
yeah,
dough?
You don't just throw it in there.
Yeah, you do. You just throw it in there. Nope. Okay. So you're going to put your pie crust in your pie dish, right? Then the filling, you're going to defrost. So if you have the fruit frozen, because sometimes I preserve it, and then I defrost it. So make sure everything's defrosted, room temp. You're going to add the sugar, the tapioca. You can put cubed butter in it, too. You're going to mix it. Put it in your pie shell. This is very easy, people. There's
you don't
no reason
need to
why.
Cook it first.
You don't need to saute or whatever.
You can. You can. But how long you're going to bake it, it's actually going to cook in the crust.
Perfect.
So then you're going to put the top lid on. Megan will post the egg wash for the top of the pie on Facebook. That's very easy. Just eggs, a little bit of sugar, and a little bit of heavy whipping cream. And then you're going to bake it 400 degrees for 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Gosh. I'm making this tomorrow.
That sounds
you guys, it is so good. And we are so blessed to have all this awesome stone fruit and blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries that you can go pick in the kettle.
Did you say stone fruit?
If you
stone
bring fruit. One of these, this will get you.
This will get you.
So Brett,
spoken by the farmer. That is
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking this to Brett next
yeah.
week.
Yeah. Brett, where are you looking at?
I'll find a place for you.
There, you just
learned
it.
There you have it, people. Follow this recipe and go talk to your farmers and see if you can get some permission.
And that have...
Joel, what was your question?
My question was how to turn it from those ingredients into like the gelatinous fruit
just
filling.
Mix it in the bowl and bake it.
It just seems
it's
wrong.
So easy.
It's not. It's
so
right.
So easy and it's so
it's
delicious.
Right.
And I was going to say, when I grew up, I didn't have birthday cake. I had birthday pie. So
this could be a wonderful birthday pie.
I had ice cream
Brett
cake.
Kramer, farmer landowner,
thank
Danielle
you, thank
Fairman.
You.
Does it all in Wisconsin. Our chef, Ellie Lawton. And I'm Joel Clayfish. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you next week on Raised in Wisconsin.